Hello and welcome to the Headache Doctor podcast. I'm Dr. Taves and it's my mission to empower everyone with headaches and migraines to break free from a life of fear and dependence and thrive in everything they do. And on this episode of the podcast, we're going to accomplish that by talking about jaw pain and how the jaw functions and how that corresponds to head or facial pain. And again, how it's overlooked. And this is something that should be treated or should at least be evaluated. And so we're going to go into the different facets of the jaw and why it's important for you as the headache or migraine sufferer at home to consider the jaw. Now, before I jump into that, I want to give a plug for some of our social media platforms. Our Instagram page, so if you look up Novera Headache Center on Instagram, we try to put valuable content on that page. We also have a Facebook group. If you look up the Headache Doctor Facebook page, we have a group. It's called the Headache Conversation. And basically, I want to create this sort of platform where people with headaches or migraines can talk and ask questions surrounding headaches and migraines, and we can kind of solve problems there together. I also have a TikTok page where I put out a video every day, just helpful tip, trick, or education surrounding headaches or migraines. And that has done very well, and we will continue to do that. And then finally, we do have a YouTube page where you can find this content. It's the Headache Doctor podcast on YouTube, where you can find the same content just in video format. So if you'd rather see me, watch my hand expressions, how passionate I get about this stuff, you're welcome to do that on YouTube if that's a platform you are more comfortable with. And I would encourage you to share this information with anyone that you know that might have headaches or migraines, because it is going to be impactful for them. Just I hope that you, the listener, have been impacted by this content, but I would encourage you to share it with someone. And then also like, rate the podcast on whatever platform you listen to this podcast, because that will help us get the word out. So without further ado, let's jump into jaw pain. And let's start with the mechanics of the jaw and how that's impacted by the neck. So we've talked about this neck issue, the restrictions in the neck that come from an injury that's overlooked. And the primary thing that happens that's going to impact the jaw is, so if you think about the tension that develops in the neck, this loss of movement between the head and the first bone and the first bone and the second bone. So that's where a lot of the mobility comes from in our neck. If we lose that, the neck will bias this resting posture, and typically it's going to be kind of slightly tilted to the right or to the left, and then extended back. So your head will be tipped up a little bit, and oftentimes it'll bias, let's say, the right side. I do see that there's a few degrees of sort of right side bending that patients have in a resting position. Now, that's not something that people will notice outside of like me telling you that your head is sitting like that on your neck. But if you are standing looking at yourself in the mirror, you might be able to, if you're relaxed, you might be able to notice that your head might tilt a little bit to the right or to the left. Now, the reason that is important is because it does play into how other joints are going to move or be affected. So that has an effect on the lower cervical spine or the mid cervical spine, and it can increase the amount of stress placed on specifically like C2-3 or 3-4. And oftentimes there's a real sensitive area in the neck. And it's partially because this side bending motion is kind of stuck one way or the other. And so the lower segments are having to compensate. The other thing that is affected by it, and which we're going to talk about, is the jaw. So if your head is resting with this couple degrees of right side bending or left side bending, and if it's extended back, so if you're kind of looking up, and a lot of that comes from whether it's, you know, looking at your cell phone or computer work, everything in our life is pulling us forward. So it's natural for a head to extend back a few degrees and get used to that position, because our eyes always want to be on the horizontal plane. Our brain wants our visual input to be correct, and so our brain will tell our head where it needs to be so that our eyes are receiving the proper input as far as our visual system is concerned. And so your head will correct. Your head will kind of pop up a little bit and want to rest in just, let's say, an extra 5 degrees of extension to accommodate to this forward shoulder, forward head sitting posture that we have throughout the day. Okay, so let's assume that your head is tilted to the right by 3 degrees and it's extended back by 5 degrees, and that's where it likes to rest. And that's because of the tension in your neck, so that's not something that's good. That's something that needs to be corrected, but that's just the way it is. And you might not notice it, but if you do look in the mirror, you might be able to tell, like, hey, my head does kind of sit to the right. But like I said, don't be self-conscious about that, because no one's ever going to notice it but me and potentially you now, because I told you about it. So because your head is kind of resting in this slightly off position, it affects the lower part of the neck. But then the jaw, which has two joints and it's one bone, so it's one fixed bone, but it has two identical joints, one on the right, one on the left. And so the jaw itself, in that sort of resting position, is playing off of what kind of tension it's receiving from the neck. So if this tension, we'll say, is pulling you a little bit to the right, that tension is going to travel into the jaw. And that's partially because the jaw muscles, the muscles that allow us to open and close our mouth, specifically with opening, those muscles kind of anchored or originate on the spine. And so that tension will develop in those specific muscle groups and have sort of this pulling effect on the jaw, even in a resting position. And so your jaw might slightly rest to the right or to the left without even opening or closing the jaw. And that is kind of playing off or feeding off what the neck is doing. So this neck problem is feeding into the jaw in a resting position. Now, when you open and close your jaw, this is where a lot of the problems will arise, because if that tension, if those muscles are kind of pulling into one direction, now remember, the jaw is a fixed bone with two joints. And so those joints, when you open and close your mouth, let's talk about opening. When you open your jaw, it will rotate. So it'll rotate and then it'll glide forward. This is a unique mechanism of the jaw joint. So that rotating component will allow for a certain percentage of your opening. So if you think of like a snake that's able to unhinge their jaw because they need to get this, you know, rabbit into their mouth, which is like triple the size of their head. That's a specific mechanism that allows them to open their jaw and unhinge so that they can like double their range of motion. Now we have that same mechanism. And so rotation is the first portion of our jaw movement, and then it glides forward. So it actually kind of unhinges just like, you know, a snake's jaw would. And so that unhinging motion is oftentimes the transition from rotating to unhinging, or gliding forward, I should say, is where a lot of these problems arise. That's where you might feel it'll catch or it'll pop or click. Potentially it'll be painful and you kind of have to work your jaw past that. So some people will say they have to kind of like wiggle their jaw or move it side to side to loosen it up so that they can open their mouth all the way. And especially if you find that eating foods, or if you have to eat like a burger or something that's big enough where you have to incorporate that gliding forward motion to open your mouth enough, that can be something that people avoid when they have jaw problems. So when there's tension pulling your jaw one way, that rotation component typically is going to be okay, but then when it wants to glide forward, that's where the problems happen. Because that gliding forward, it's kind of like the joint is relatively stable in just this, let's call it like 30, 40 degrees of opening, because it's still in the jaw joint. It's still kind of in the socket. But as soon as it glides forward, it's kind of freed up and it's depending on those muscles to stabilize it. It's no longer depending on the jaw structure itself. It's depending more so on like the muscles and what the muscles are telling it. And so that coordination and lack of tension that's required for proper movement is oftentimes lost when you have this tension in your neck pulling your jaw into one direction. And so what I see is when patients open, they will have this deviation to the right or to the left. And that deviation right or left is telling me that the jaw naturally is wanting to, there's one side that's potentially delayed in that rotation and then gliding forward. And usually that has to do with tension. So sometimes it can be a deviation to the right and then it'll kind of like come back and correct. So it'll leave midline and then it'll come back to midline. And that'll do that to the right or to the left. Now, if it's bad enough, sometimes the patient just won't be able to open past that sort of rotation component of the movement. And so it glides forward, and it's dependent on those muscles to do the proper function. And when those muscles have tension, when they have these trigger points that are developed, or when the head is kind of sitting on the neck in this slightly tilted position, it's not able to function as it should. And so over time, the jaw will develop tension. And over time, this will, like with any joint or with any movement, the body does a good job of compensating. And so that compensation pattern will work for a period of time. And you might not have any jaw issues, you might not have pain or popping, clicking in your jaw. But again, if this is not something that's corrected, there may be a point in time where your body kind of decompensates and you begin to feel that pain, you begin to feel the popping, clicking, your jaw begins to be an actual part of that pain signal that your brain is receiving, and it can be a part of your headache, migraine, a part of the big picture. So it's important to address jaw function because of that. Now, let's talk about kind of the type of headache that would draw directly from the jaw, or the type of pain pattern that a patient would see. And let's go into more of the muscles and why the muscles would respond in a positive way to the type of treatment that I would provide. So there's two big muscles that you might be familiar with. One of them is called the temporalis. And this one is a muscle that starts in your temple and it kind of fans out. I would say it takes up probably 50% of the side of your head and how much it fans out. And there's different trigger points kind of on the side on your temples that can be pain generators. And so oftentimes this like temple pain, or I would say if you have pain in both temples, the jaw might be a significant player in that. And so this temporalis muscle is one that could potentially be irritated. The second muscle is your masseter. And now this muscle is kind of, if you think of like a muscle that if someone is really skinny or they have a really defined sort of like facial features, you might be able to see their masseter. It goes kind of from their cheekbone down to just kind of the base of the jaw. And this one is a real strong muscle. Part of that is just the mechanism behind the jaw joint itself. And so there's a lot of power behind this specific masseter muscle, but it's also prone to developing certain trigger points. And I've had patients where there's trigger points, which are just these sort of like irritated spots in the muscle where those muscle fibers are contracted and it's restricting blood flow. So if I find one of those in the masseter, oftentimes it can refer pain into the head, and patients will say, oh, that feels like my headache or that feels like my migraine. So the temporalis is important to look at. The masseter is important to look at. And there's these two small muscles that are closer to the actual jaw joints. One of them is called the medial pterygoid, which you can kind of feel a trigger point if you reach up under the kind of the angle of your mandible or of your jaw and put a little bit of pressure on the inside of your jaw. If you're watching this on YouTube, you can see where I'm pushing. And if that's sensitive, it could be your medial pterygoid that is part of the problem. And the other muscle that I would say is kind of my go-to, like this muscle needs to be addressed, is called your lateral pterygoid. And this muscle helps with side-to-side motion of your jaw. So if you can wiggle your jaw side to side, sometimes that feels tighter one side or the other. Sometimes that's even painful for patients. And so it has a major part in that side-to-side motion. Now, if this lateral pterygoid muscle is tight, restricted, if it's not doing its job, that can be a part of the pull in one direction so that when you open, your jaw likes to deviate to the left or to the right. And so I always like to address tension in that lateral pterygoid muscle. Usually if the lateral pterygoid is an issue, it'll hurt directly in the jaw joint itself. And then of course, this tension over time can lead to wear and tear in the jaw itself. So one of the misconceptions that a lot of people have is like if you have arthritis or if there's changes that they found with an x-ray or maybe this 3D CT scan that the dentists do, that you're kind of past the point of being able to fix it, but that's not true. So this wear and tear can pop up in the jaw, but really what needs to happen is you need to restore function, reduce tension, and improve mobility, and that starts in the neck as well. But if we can do all those things, then the jaw can improve. And so the jaw joint itself can be a source of pain, but these muscles, the muscle tissue, because they play such an important role with not only the rotation, but that gliding forward motion, we need to evaluate what those muscles are doing, if they're coordinated in that movement, and if there's trigger points that are preventing them from doing the proper function. So as far as what physical therapists can do or what I do in my clinic, it's primarily hands-on. So I will work with my hands to reduce tension. I'll actually go inside the cheek and put pressure on these different muscles within the jaw. And then we're working on jaw function. So when you open and your jaw should be gliding forward, does that joint have enough freedom to glide forward? Because when joints aren't doing the proper movement, oftentimes the tissues that surround that joint can become restricted. So I want to make sure that the tissues around the joint are functioning properly. And then we have to look at the neck, just like I would with anyone with headaches or migraines. We want to start in the neck because the neck is kind of that foundation that the jaw will play off of. And it can work the other way too, but the neck needs to be addressed and the jaw needs to be addressed. Now, most of the time when patients come to me with jaw issues, they would have seen a dentist in the past that would have tried to help with their jaw function. Now, I want to go into these night guards or night splints that the dentist will prescribe and talk about kind of the mechanism behind them or why they can be helpful. So oftentimes dentists will be tuned into looking at the changes or kind of breakdown of your teeth themselves and say, okay, this is evidence of you grinding or clenching your teeth at night. And so they want to protect your teeth, and that's why they'll give you the hard plastic night guard to wear so that your teeth don't continue to wear down. Now, that is important, and that is something that is more of a dental thing. But in my world, that night guard can be helpful because what I want to see is that all your teeth are contacting each other appropriately. So clenching or grinding at night is a tough problem to solve, and it's difficult to say, okay, you know, do this one thing or go through this process to stop grinding or clenching your teeth. Oftentimes, it's associated to stress and that type of thing. So if there's ways to decrease your stress level throughout the day, that can be helpful. But most of the time, I just assume the patient's going to continue to grind or clench their teeth at night. And what I want to do is allow their back molars to contact each other appropriately, or all their teeth to contact each other appropriately. Because if they do, it won't translate tension into the jaw. So the closing of your mouth and all those teeth contacting each other appropriately will prevent the temporalis muscle and the master muscle from continuing to pull, and want the teeth to contact each other. And so it will allow this proper like bite down when you do grind or clench your jaw. And that will help prevent that tension from traveling into your jaw or traveling into your neck. So the night guard is important. Usually I like to see the patient before they receive a night guard, or at least when they have a night guard. I will recommend that they go back to their dentist and kind of get a revision done because your bite can actually change as your neck mobility improves. As that tension reduces, as the jaw improves in function, your bite will actually change. And so the night guard can be helpful after if you continue to clench and grind your teeth and that has been seen to restrict the neck, then the night guard can be helpful. But oftentimes the neck and its impact on the jaw is overlooked. And so I always encourage people to see me or see someone like me so that we can address the neck problem and address the jaw problem. And then if there's still an issue, then we can go visit the dentist and have one of those night guards prescribed. Now, as I said in the beginning, everyone with headaches or migraines needs to consider this because it's likely coming from your neck and your neck issues likely playing into your jaw. If you have jaw pain, if that's your primary source of pain, or if you know that that's a substantial part of what's going on, then I would encourage you to make sure that if you are receiving treatment, that the neck is not overlooked. Reach out to me if this is something that you want more info on or want me to help you walk through this. And then remember that the night guard can be a reasonable option if you don't have an avenue to see someone like me. So there's everything, well, what I feel like you should know about the jaw. And hopefully that is empowering, educational for you to understand this whole pain pathway and headaches and migraines and what is the actual mechanism or source of your headaches and migraines. Because if you understand the source, you can treat the source and get your life back. You can start playing with your kids. You can start working at your job and feeling like you're fulfilled and able to use your time the way that you want. And so I hope that you will continue to join me in this journey and feel empowered by this podcast. Don't forget to rate the podcast, share the podcast, and educate others that are struggling with these headaches or migraines, because it could be their only shot at getting their life back and getting off of medication. Don't forget, it is my mission to empower everyone with headaches and migraines to break free from this life of fear and dependence and thrive in everything they do. Thanks for listening.